Let's pray together. Lord, we ask for you to help us this morning understand your teachings, what you have revealed to us. And Lord, as we seek to understand, not only understand, but to grow and to change and to be made more like Jesus from your word today. Lord, help us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I've heard several times within my life, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites. You've heard it too. Well, you know what? They're right. Church is full of hypocrites. And America has especially, probably all around the world, but America has a hatred, it seems, a special hatred for hypocrisy. But did you know that America pays millions of dollars for people to lie to them, to cheat them, and deceive them? And they love it. They laud, they proclaim, they celebrate those who cheat them and deceive them. And I'm not talking about politicians. I'm talking about actors. Have you ever thought about it? Did you know Hollywood is full of hypocrites too, but it doesn't keep people out of the theaters? You ever thought about that? In fact, if you go back to the Greek word in which we get the word hypocrite from, it's really a transliterated word. It's hypocrites in Greek. But that was a word that was used for an actor. That's what it was. It was one who would wear a mask and deceive someone into believing they were something that they were not. And even today, in 2019, we celebrate those who can trick us into believing that they're something that they are not. As we study God's word this morning, I want you to remember that the root of hypocrisy is trying to make someone believe something that they're not. Trying to get someone else to believe that you are something that you are not. And the church is full of them. And so is the bar. And so is the ball field. And so is Washington, D.C. And so is your house. And so is the workplace. Because hypocrisy is not limited to religious people. It is a universal problem. If you have your Bible, I'll invite you to open up to Matthew chapter 15, where we will talk about hypocrisy. And as we're doing that, let's define and make sure we understand what is hypocrisy or what is a hypocrite. And again, I tell you, it is transliterated, meaning you take a word from one language and you bring it right into another language, right from the Greek, and it's the Greek word for actor. Matthew Henry, one of the theologians that I really love, he said this when commentating on the book of Matthew. He said, "Others of them were detestable hypocrites, making their pretenses to holiness a cloak for iniquity." Let that sink in a little bit. Hypocrisy is in fact a tool. And it is a tool that each and every one of you know how to use. You know how to use hypocrisy. Because often what it does is it allows you to put on a mask. And when you put on a mask and can deceive the people around you, you can get what you secretly desire. And that's exactly what Matthew Henry told us. That hypocrisy is used as a cloak of holiness to acquire or to do iniquity. You've seen the Harry Potter movie or read the book, you know that they have a cloak of what? invisibility. And it was able to what? To hide them. And that's what hypocrisy does. It hides the true you. And in the generations coming up now, I might share with you, one of the things that is the most offensive to the generations that are rising now is inauthenticity or unauthentic behavior. And it's if you try to pretend to be something that you're not. And this is why we see the rise of even profane language from the president, from pastors, from leaders, because, well, after all, I'm thinking it, I can't hide it. Matthew 15, let's look at verse 1. Now that we know what a hypocrite is and hypocrisy is, then the Pharisees and scribes came from Jesus to Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." He answered them, "Why do you break the commandments of God for the sake of your tradition?" And do you see what Jesus did there? "Jesus, why do your disciples break the traditions of elders?" And Jesus responds, "Stay in your lane. Why do you break the commandments, not of the elders, but of God?" And he continues, verse 4. "For God commanded, 'Honor your father and mother,' and whoever reviles his father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void or nullified or emptied the word of God. You," what? You see it? "You're pretending to be holy, and you're denying God's word. You're putting up a mask like you're so good because you can keep even the traditions of the elders, and you're denying God. Take your mask off." That's exactly what Jesus is saying. "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.'" And do you see it? Their lips are a cloak meant to hide their true intentions and desires. Like that cloak of invisibility, their lips are hiding the true nature of what? Their heart. And that's what hypocrisy does. "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrines, the commandments of men." You see, what's going on here is this Pharisees and scribes are presenting themselves to be better than Jesus' disciples, because not only do they keep God's commandments, but they keep the other ones too. And Jesus exposes them, ripping off their cloak, and says, "But what really is true is that your hearts are far from God." The greatest enemy to hypocrisy is the truth. Because the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has what? Not what? Has not overcome it. And the light exposes the lie for what it is. And therefore, Christians, I tell you, as you see hypocrisy around you in all of your areas of life, my encouragement is to be true. To speak the truth. And as you see things that are not right, as Jesus did, just expose the truth. Be truthful. And the lies will reveal themselves. You don't have to be ugly. You don't have to be pretentious. You don't have to be aggressive. You need to be truthful around hypocrites. And that's what Jesus did. He told it like it was. C.S. Lewis, who many of you have read many of his books, The Chronicles of Narnia and such, but he was a great thinker. And in his book, Mere Christianity, which I'd encourage any of you to read, Mere Christianity, he says this phrase, and I've read it. I read it when I was in college, and I've never forgotten it. He says, "The proof of the pudding is in the what? and the tasting. In other words, the pudding, which I guess that was dessert back in his day, the pudding might look really, really good, but the proof of the pudding is in the true nature of it. Not just how it looks, not just what their words can say, but what is in their heart. Now, many of you are thinking to yourselves, yes, I know some hypocrites. And let me encourage you to not think that way so much. Let me encourage you to stay in your lane, to think about yourself and say, okay, you know, I've got a little cloak too. And sometimes I hide things of my own. And let me tell you the faulty nature of that thinking. The faulty nature of that thinking is this, that my cloak, my mask, my hypocrisy will not let other people know what I really am. But the faultiness of that thinking is not Christian thinking. Because what Jesus would have us to do is not to hide our problems, but to fix our problems. Do you see why hypocrisy is such a problem? Because what it allows you to do is take that mask, take that cloak, and keep your problems rather than dealing with them. And this is what the religious of Jesus' day did. This is what the religious of our day do. Rather than dealing with, I'm not asking you to expose your problems. I'm asking you to fix the problems that you have. And the root of hypocrisy is that you are presenting yourself to be something you're not. And the problem is you are not what you ought to be. And the image that you are sharing with others is not the root of the problem. That's a sign, a symbol of the problem. Remember, Jesus called us to be, in Romans chapter 8, conformed to what? He predestined us to be what? Conformed to the image of Christ. This is why hypocrisy is so dangerous, because we can keep our devilish thoughts and our devilish desires hidden with our mask and with our cloak. Do you see the problem? Hypocrisy is dangerous in the church, and it's dangerous in the Christian. Let's keep going in the scripture. Matthew chapter 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be what? You see it? Y'all help me out. In order to be what? I've got a mask. In order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites, as the actors do, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they might be praised by others. There, truly I say to you, they have received the reward. Do you see the hypocrisy? They're giving stuff away. But in all actuality, all they're trying to do is get the glory from those around them. They're using giving as a mask to get. We'll keep reading. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that then their fasting might be what? Seen. By others, truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray on the synagogues and the street corners, they might be seen. Do you see what's going on here? The hypocrisy is meant to put on an act, to put on a show in order to receive glory. But their hearts are greedy, greedy, greedy to receive something that is not rightfully theirs. And that is what gives people such and angst about hypocrisy. Let's look at how hypocrisy plays out in the Gospel of Luke. Y'all still with me? If you are hearing God's word today and you are not examining yourself, I want to urge you to look into your own heart and say, where am I being a hypocrite? Where am I setting a standard for others that I'm not even keeping myself? Where am I trying to be seen by others in order to get something rather than to be truly generous and give? This is what the scripture has for us. I'm not trying to teach you how to deal with others. I'm trying to teach you this morning how to deal with yourself. Luke chapter 12, verse 54. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, a shower is coming. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you actors, you two-faced people, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? When I initially read this passage, I went, what exactly is he talking about here? Why are they being hypocrites? Because they know how to forecast the weather. Well, then he gives them the reason and says, because you do not know how to interpret the time. So this is one where context matters. Context matters. Brother Bill would remind us here. Context matters. Look back in verse 32, same chapter. Look what Jesus says. Fear not, little flock, for your Father, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you what?
Kingdom.
The kingdom. All right, keep that in mind. What does the Father want to give?
Kingdom.
I like this side over here. Y'all are talking to me. Jesus is giving them what?
Kingdom.
Kingdom. All right, now go down to verse 37. Blessed are the servants, those servants whom the Master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third watch, means throughout the night, and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what time the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You must also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour in which you do not expect. Now, many people have several different understandings of this passage, but based on the context, Jesus says, what does Jesus want to give them, or the Father want to give them?
Kingdom.
Kingdom. And then Jesus says, the Son of Man is coming. And he's coming to give them what I presume to be, based on context, it's the kingdom. And then Jesus goes back and says, you don't know how to interpret the present time. And let me remind you, how did Jesus start his preaching? He said, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. So let me tie all of this together to say, Jesus is saying, you can see the weather coming and recognize it. You can see the heat coming and you can recognize it. But when you see the king coming, you don't recognize him. And he's here. And you should be ready. You hypocrites, you're the religious people. And you don't even notice the king. Where's your heart? All you're trying to do is use religion as a show to hide your wicked heart. You are whitewashed what? Tombs. You're a pretty grave. With rotten bones. Hypocrites, you actors. You don't even recognize the king when he's among you. Let me tell you what hypocrisy does oftentimes and on a personal level for me. And I think it does it for you too, if I'm not mistaken. Hypocrisy leads us to ignore the truth. Okay? You know right and wrong. And what hypocrisy does to try to make that cloak for you, it can redefine right and wrong right there in your noggin, can't it? Have you ever known something was wrong and figured out a way to make it right? I ask my children sometimes, after they do something, did you do this? Yes, and it was, I was just doing this. You ever get that answer? I was just doing this. See, what I was doing was right. It was okay. I was just doing this. In all actuality, when we talk further, they come to admit most of the time, yeah, but it wasn't right. You know what I'm talking about, Mom? It happens. We make things that are wrong right, and it's a cloak in order to protect our sin. And that's what hypocrisy does. And this is exactly what the religious of Jesus' day did. They were hiding the fact that they were greedy. They were prideful and arrogant people. And they were using religion to cloak it. They were hypocrites. They were actors. Friends, may I make you aware this morning that you are an actor. And the only thing that can help you is the truth. And this is why it's so important to read God's word, because it is unadulterated truth. Turn on the news, you've got adulterated, opinionated, my truth, my ideas. Right? Turn on a preacher, you might have his opinion of God's word. Read the Bible, you've got unadulterated truth. So look, y'all, go read your Bibles. It is the antidote for hypocrisy that you may be harboring. Luke chapter 13. Let me give you another example. He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. And behold, there was a young woman who had been had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." Hallelujah. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was straight, and she glorified God. Praise the Lord. Good news, right? Good news, unless you only care about your own glory. And guess what? There were people watching a sick woman become well and were mad about it. You know why? Hypocrisy. Verse 14. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant. Y'all know what indignant means? Foot stomping mad. That's what it means. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, you actors, you phonies, you two-faced, do not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" As he said this thing, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at the glorious things that were done by him. Mr. Stephen read a story this morning of similar fashion, healing on the Sabbath, from Luke chapter 14. What would keep someone rejoicing and someone else becoming better? Because it undoes the mask. It pulls back the cloak and shows that their religion was not the religion. It was not true and undefiled religion. And that Jesus Christ had true godly power. And their cloak was being pulled back, and they didn't like it, so they said, "Give me my cloak." Don't do this on that day. I'm the boss. Now, we don't like that, do we? And I hope that you have the same vigor and the same ill feelings toward that attitude when it's you that has it. Maybe when you recognize that maybe you're not so right, and maybe you are being greedy or deceitful, or maybe you are being wrong, or maybe you are bad-mouthing somebody, or maybe you are being selfish, and you say, "Give me that back!" Just remember. Now, I've got good news. Y'all know what the good news is? Jesus came to save hypocrites. Come on. Jesus came to save hypocrites. He came to deliver you from hypocrisy. We've got it on our sign out front. What's it say? Jesus saves. And I want the world to know. Jesus saved the sinner. Jesus saved the hypocrite. And look, y'all, I am a hypocrite to this day. I have masks. And I want y'all, I encourage you. I have brothers in this room, sisters in this room, a wife in this room that unveils my masks often. And I thank God for that. I don't like it at the time, and sometimes I'm like, "Get away from me!" But people love me. I want to tell you that until Jesus comes in, you will never be delivered from your hypocrisy. You will continue to live as a hypocrite, as your own, on your own throne. But when you can relent, when you can give up your own throne and say, "Jesus, I want you to rule my life. I want to follow your way." He begins to peel back the problems in our lives. And he begins to put brothers and sisters and wives and sons and daughters and moms and dads in our lives that can help us deal with our hypocrisy. Because if you're 8 years old today, you're a hypocrite. And if you're 88 years old today, you're a hypocrite. But Jesus can save you at 8, and Jesus can save you at 88. And he can deliver you from those masks. The burden of having to wear those masks, and the burden of having to play people and to hide behind your cloak, and the burden that it is of keeping up this persona that's not really you. Jesus can save you. And here's how he did it. Jesus came. He lived a perfect life. He was betrayed, hung on a cross, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was buried, died, and rose again in order to bear your hypocrisy upon his back. And as I shared earlier in the service, he became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Right? Jesus, Messiah. That's what he did. So like Isaiah did in the end of his book, he offered that invitation. Come to the feast. Come to the feast. Come and enjoy bread and drink the wine and enjoy yourself at the feast of God. That is what Jesus has done. Can you not see the times? You can see the weather. Can you not see the King? Jesus is here and inviting and saying, come. Come. I'm better than your hidden sins. Come. I'm better than those hidden websites. Come. I'm better than that hidden power. I'm better than that image you're trying to uphold. Come. I'm better than that greed in your heart. Come to me. I'm better than that person you think is going to make you happy. And so you're willing to compromise every belief that you have to go find somebody. I'm better. Jesus says, come. Can you not see the time? Don't be a hypocrite. Don't let the lies win out. Don't let deception win you over. Come to Jesus. Christian, don't let the lies turn you away from your King. Don't let them draw you away. Admit to yourself that God is true, that Jesus saves, and come to Jesus. Are you overcritical of others? Come to Jesus. Do you set double standards, expecting others to do things that you don't even do yourselves? Come to Jesus. Is your language one way at church and another way at work or at home? Come to Jesus. Do you talk the Christian talk, but then behind closed doors, your thoughts are a mess? Your desires are a mess? Come to Jesus. Jesus came to save hypocrites. Let me close with a story from Luke chapter 18. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Sound familiar? And treated others with contempt. When you think you've got it all together and you're lashing out at others because they don't have it all together, you know what you're proving? You're proving that you don't. Verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Remember that sermon that Jesus gave when he said, if you have anger in your heart? Remember that sermon when Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lustful desires in your heart? Remember how Jesus taught that the sin was not merely in what we do, but in what we think? Let me read that one more time to you. Thank you that I'm not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. You have someone publicly putting on their mask, their cloak of invisibility. And then you have someone standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. No mask, no cloak. Coming before God, Lord, I am who I am. Save me. Forgive me. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the quote-unquote just one. I can tell you, because I've read a lot of what Jesus wrote, Jesus opposes the hypocrite. So I ask you as a friend, as a fellow churchgoer, many of you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, to take the mask off, to get from behind the cloak, and to come to Jesus and say, Lord, make me more like Jesus. And help me fight these internal desires that are waging war against me. Young people, like Miss Mary taught you, feed that inner spirit man so that you can be more like Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, hypocrisy is so real in each and every one of us. Help us to identify it and to burn our masks, to throw them into the fire, to abandon our cloaks, and have a great desire to be more and more like Jesus. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.